This is the award-winning Speak Your Peace with Darren Dudrick on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM, KODI, and 1140 AM, KZMQ.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Darren Dudrick. If you have a comment or a question, you may call us at 587-1400 or 1-866-833-4400. Speak Your Peace is brought to you by Tim Mayhew of Level 4 Wealth Management in downtown Cody. Call today for a no-cost, no-obligation consultation, 586-2700. Also brought to you in part by First Bank of Wyoming, your home lending partner in town, Mountain High Health Foods for health foods, vitamins, herbs, books, anything for healthy living. Stop by Mountain High Health Foods, top of the hill in Cody, and Wyoming Home and Ranch. They have a great selection of dog food, home decor, and the best lawn and garden section in town. Stop into Wyoming Home and Ranch on Bighorn Avenue in Cody for tools, products, and expert advice for all your projects. Once again, the phone number is 587-1400 or 1-866-833-4400. When calling, we ask callers to please tell us your first and last name. We limit callers to one call per show. Today's guest on Speaker Piece from the Park County Archives, Robin Cutter. Robin, how are you doing today?
Good morning. I'm doing very well.
Thanks for coming in. You were on a few months ago with Mac Frost talking about the difference between what he does and what you do. We thought, you know, get you back in here to just to remind everybody there is a Park County Archives and that you guys have a lot of stuff. And, I mean, there's no doubt about that. But before we get started, just remind people your background, who you are, and what you do there at the archives.
Okay. I have a master's degree in historic preservation, and so I have a dedicated interest in preserving the history of communities. And I actually, probably about 7 years ago, went back to school at Northwest College and specialized in digital preservation and worked with the McCracken Research Library as an intern and then via grants, digitizing some of the collections there. And the position came open with the Park County Archives to help digitize and work on the collections there. And so here I am.
How long have you been there at the Archives?
Since December.
Since December. Okay, so you're still fairly new. Now, are you originally from Cody?
No, St. Paul, Minnesota.
Okay, and how long have you been here for?
15 years.
15 years, okay. Enough to start to learn about the community and so forth. Now, the archives, just some general stuff, you're located at Park County Public Library, right?
That's right. We're back kind of in the corner, past the ladies' restroom, in the library building. And
what about hours of operation?
Oh, well. From 9 to 4, Monday through Friday.
Okay.
And then if somebody has something, we can meet by appointment after hours. Sometimes we'll do presentations with other groups and things like that that are after hours.
Now, what for those that I mean, it's kind of self-explanatory. Park County Archives, people when they hear the name, they or that know it, know that you guys keep a history account of the county. But what kind of stuff do you have that's included in the archives?
Well, we have, you know, the central room that's up front that we just have books and tables and computers and things for researchers and stuff, space for people to work at. But we have, behind the closed doors, we have a temperature-controlled, huge, huge room in the back. And in the back there, we keep a lot of different documents. Again, we are primarily documents, paper, photos, that sort of thing, rather than artifacts.
Okay, and that's what the Cody Heritage Museum will hold.
Correct.
Okay.
They will keep the artifacts of Cody, and then they share. We work with them if they need photos and different documentation. We help provide them if they need that. But in our collection, we have, for instance, we have a pretty extensive collection of the newspapers from Park County as early as 1896.
Wow. Okay.
Of course, the Cody Enterprise started 1899, mm-hmm. but we do have the Shoshone, one copy of the Shoshone Valley News. It was only printed for 4 months. And we do have one copy of that, but we have we also have not just the Cody papers. We have the Meteetse newspapers, the Powell newspapers. I recently copied the Heart Mountain Sentinel, mm-hmm. So we have a complete collection of the Heart Mountain Sentinel from Heart Mountain. We have the Cody Booby Prize, the one Dewey Vanderhoff published.
That's
for a
right.
while. We
okay.
have a pretty good collection of that. The Cody Bronc, which was the high school paper, we have a fair amount of the high school papers. And so it's we get people all the time that are searching stuff through the newspapers. The other thing that people the probably the biggest thing that people come and look for in the archives are the obituaries.
Genealogy research, I guess.
That's right. Family history. Mm-hmm. They're trying to find stuff out, and so we have an extensive obituary collection, and then we also have collections by people's last name. We call them our biography files.
Hmm.
And if you're ever wondering if we have information on you, come down and see us, and we'll pull and see if there's a file. Particularly if things have been published in the newspaper, that sort of thing.
Arrest records. No, I'm only kidding. You never know, I guess, right?
Well, there's all kinds of things. And then we actually have another category that is by subject.
Okay.
So everything from businesses to drownings, the airport, and just all kinds of any different subject matter, but they're massive. We probably have 10 different legal file cabinets full of subject matter files. So a lot of times people are coming to do research, whether it's the newspaper doing something for their Legends magazine, whether it's people writing a book, they'll come and we'll be able to pull different things.
Now, the key here, this is Park County, not just Cody.
Correct. We're talking Park County.
Park County, okay.
That's right.
Okay.
And we have – I recently tried to get a pretty complete collection of the high school yearbooks, and that helps us. One, I go back and identify people who are in other collections. People give us collections of photos, and if we know that they went to high school here or whatever, we might go back and seek the yearbooks and identify by faces people in some of those pictures. But the other thing I just recently discovered was in the back of the yearbooks are some of these magnificent advertisements. Particularly in the 1950s, I just was thrilled to know that the high school, when I started flipping through the back of the book, it had all kinds of interior shots, exterior shots of businesses from that era.
Oh, cool. So you can piece together was where and when and everything.
Right.
Yeah? Okay.
And so it's people within the stores, and it was really exciting to see a lot of this because we didn't have these kind of pictures in our collection. And all of a sudden, I've got hundreds of pictures that the kids took from back in the, so I've started going through a lot of the other yearbooks.
Well, that's neat.
To find that. But it was like, here's my only picture in the Mayflower Cafe in the inside. Or, somebody in this shoe shop. Shoe shop was a smaller business.
Mm-hmm.
But we have people trying on shoes in their shoe shop or the lumber yard or different things like that. So the yearbooks have come to be very, very useful.
I wanted to ask you, for those that want to take a visit to the archives, if they want to look for something, so what different, I guess, avenues can they go in? I mean, you have different ways they can research. They can research people by name, by subject, or how different?
Correct.
What are the different ways they can research?
We do have an online site that does have our pretty significant part of our photo collection online.
Oh, okay.
And through the county website, they can access the Park County Archives, and they can pull up by like name or by subject and be able to pull up and look at pictures and write down the numbers if there's, if there's images that they might be
interested.
So
you do it from your house?
You can do it from home.
Okay, nice.
And so we're constantly upgrading and putting things online.
Do you do stuff by chance by year or by decade or anything? Or is it mainly by subject and by person?
By subject and person.
Subject and person. Okay, so you can, so people can. And how far back do the archives go? I mean, depending on what it is.
We have from the late 1800s.
Wow.
I mean, as far as documents and things that are in there.
How long has the archives been open for? Do you know the?
I don't really know.
I'm assuming they've been around probably.
It was part of the Historical Society,
sure.
I think, initially. And so I think probably from maybe the 60s or 70s. Yeah.
Okay. And your collection's growing. That's that's great.
But we also keep a pretty good collection of the phone books and city directories, which is another source to go back to. We have a large collection of oral histories that had been taken. And about half of them are transcribed. And so sometimes people will be coming in and say, oh, just let me go check on this. And sure enough, I'll have something from a family member that their oral history was taken, and they have a whole nother complete story of their family that they didn't know existed.
Oh, that's kind of cool. So how does this work? I mean, now what kind of staff do you have? Because you're talking history, you're talking the history of a county, and trying to find documentation and stuff, and piecing that all together and organizing that. How many people do you have working organizing this stuff?
There's two of us.
Two of you?
Brian Beauvais and myself.
Oh, my goodness.
And
so you got, like, years and numbers and addresses coming out your ears with all the stuff you look at all the time.
Right.
And oh,
we get people that call all the time asking for information. So, or coming in. And we invite people to come in and let us take you in the back room, show you what we have.
Man, that's a lot of information.
And we have the only county archives in the state besides the state archives. There's no other county archives in the state of Wyoming.
No other county in Wyoming has a county archives?
Nope.
So if you live in Cheyenne or Casper, Gillette, where do you go to get history?
You have to go to the state archives. There's a local historical society or museum or something that might have some of that documentation, but a lot of that goes to the state museum.
Well, that stinks.
Or state archives.
If you live in those communities, what a wonderful gift to have here in Park County.
We are really fortunate.
Well, thank you too. That's great. You do all that. You collect it all and organize. Organizing would be the tough thing because every story, for example, or almost every picture can be filed in different ways.
And we have to file stuff in several different categories
because people look in certain
right.
ways.
Right. That's right.
Wow. So if somebody comes in and wants to know something about Meteetse, Powell, or Cody, there's a way to do that then.
That's right.
Nice. So now, how has the archives changed over the years? I mean, has it grown quite a bit? Has it continued to grow consistently?
It continues to grow every day.
Every day.
Because, of course, we're in the digital age now, so we're able to digitize and put online. And then people are cleaning out their parents' estates and that sort of thing.
Let's go to the phone line. Caller, please state your first and last name.
Hi, Darren and Robin. This is Lynn House calling.
Hi.
And I worked at the archives from 92 to 99 and thought maybe I could give you a little bit of history.
Yeah, please.
On how it started.
Sure.
The Historical Society started it roughly in the mid-70s, started collecting obituaries and newspaper clippings. I believe in May Ballinger's home. It subsequently moved to where the Cody Country Art League is now in the chamber.
Hmm.
Went to Blair Building number 2 or 3. I think that's the order. Anyway, in about 1985, when the new addition to the courthouse was put on, and originally they were going to tear down the courthouse, they didn't do that, and so that freed up office space in the courthouse. And for many years, it was located there until the Park County Complex became available and the library moved into there, and that's when the archives moved in, which was, 2008, something like that. And so there was a wonderful woman, retired librarian, Altime Markham, who helped set up the vertical files, which are now there. So that was about in 1989. So these files have been going in one form or another since the mid-70s and then really got professionalized in 1989. And so numerous employees have worked on those files over the years. So
I can only imagine how many people have contributed to the archives over the years. It's just incredible.
Right, right. And for many years, and Robin will tell you now they're not doing this, but literally it was clipping newspapers.
Yeah. And back in the day when you didn't have anything digital, you had to do everything the hard way.
Exactly.
And like anything else.
Yeah, many of them were photocopied when they got a photocopy machine because newsprint doesn't hold up very well.
So. I was gonna say, back when you were working there, when it first started, you had to be very careful to preserve that stuff because people start touching and messing with things. I mean, not purposely, but accidentally could
right.
damage that stuff.
Just handling them.
The
acid and the oil from your hands and whatever, that, you know, that's why there's a lot of gloves in archives because you don't want to touch them with your bare hands. But anyway, I just thought I'd pass that on, that it goes back to the Park County Historical Society in the mid-70s. So.
I appreciate it, Lynn. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Thank you both. Bye.
So that's made, I think, life a little easier, I guess, being able to digitalize. But it's not easy to do that because there's so much to put on to make digital, right?
There's a lot of information. And a lot of times we have to search other sources to try to get what information we need to put down.
And, of course, there's some things you can't make digital, right? I mean, they have to stay in their original form. Is that true?
Yeah, but we can photograph things and still put it online with our, you know, so it's searchable.
Has a lot of the stuff that has been in the archives, is it well preserved for the most part? People, when they go on, they handle it pretty well, don't they, when they go on?
They do.
Let's go to the phone line. Caller, please state your first and last name. Caller, go ahead.
Hi, Jane Pauley here. Just wanted to say thank you to Brian and Robin. She really went forward with our family reunion and Pauley reunion this summer, and they were such a great help to us with many different interesting things about the family that they didn't know.
Wow.
I wanted to say thank you because that was great. We really appreciate it. Good job.
Thanks, Jenny.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
You bet. Bye-bye.
So that's an example of how you guys help out families that have reunions, I guess, right?
That's right. And so we were able to pull a lot of articles and information and photos. And since other stuff has come in, work with them to get a story in the newspaper about the reunion. And we continue to find different bits of information.
I mean, there's got to be a lot of pressure, too, for the two of you, because I know you never know what somebody's going to come in and ask for or call in and ask for, what event they have coming up where they need some information. So you got to be constantly keeping things organized.
Well, we do. And, like, for instance, this summer we've had three different two people that came in and one via phone, all searching the same family. And it was Brundage Hardware that was here in the early 1900s. And the Brundage family, two of the family members have come in. They said, oh, I'm the great-granddaughter, or he was my great-great-grandfather. And two different women had come in, and one lives in Florida, one lives in California, and then I got another call from Maine, all searching the same family.
Oh, my goodness.
And so we're able to pull this information, and they could find out different things about this family. And one of them said, oh, I never know my great-grandfather got divorced, you know. And we found this information in the file. And
the things you learn, huh? Mm-hmm. So if people, before we take a break, if people want to get, like, some information at the archives, how much does it cost? Is it just a photocopy? What's the cost associated?
20 cents for a photocopy.
20 cents for a photocopy. Yeah. 20 cents to get some family history, for example.
Right.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break on Speak Your Piece. If you'd like to join the conversation today with Robin Cutter of Park County Archives, give us a call, 587-1400. We'll be back with more Speak Your Piece right after these messages.
The views and or opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily the views and or opinions of this station or its advertisers.
Busy, hectic schedules are part of our children's lives, and although good, wholesome foods help them stay healthy, children of all ages can benefit from supplements. This is Marty from Mountain High Health Foods, and good multiple vitamin is important, along with omega-3 fish oil. Keep colds and flu away with oil of oregano and silver biotics. We also have a section full of healthy snacks just for kids. Mountain High Health Foods, top of the hill in Cody.
A trip to Cody isn't complete until you stop into Farish Jewelry. You will find stunning one-of-a-kind pieces in sterling silver and 14-karat gold, custom mosaic inlaid with natural stones, beautiful turquoise, opal, and dinosaur bone from the great state of Wyoming. Select something from our showroom or work with one of our experienced jewelers to design your own custom masterpiece with colors and stones you select. Farish Jewelry, located in downtown Cody, 1212 Sheridan in the historic Indian Territory building.
The third annual Coco 5K, a fun run to raise money for the Park County Animal Shelter, is this August 12th at 7:30 a.m. Go to Facebook and search 3rd Annual Coco 5K. Then click on the link for donating to the Park County Animal Shelter. Your donation of $25 or more is your registration. See you there!
This message brought to you by Bighorn Radio Network Cares and by Greg McDonald with Farmers Insurance, where they know a thing or two because they have seen a thing or two.
At Canyon Therapy, we see our work as more than a profession, and we see each other as more than co-workers. We're a family. This is Allison Tipton, and with one visit to Canyon Therapy, you'll see why we love working together and working with you. We truly value the healing process, and your care is our top priority. The choice is yours. If you need physical or occupational therapy, ask for a referral to Canyon Therapy on Cody's West Strip. Relief, recovery, results.
There's nothing like a hardwood floor for the natural beauty, warmth, ease of cleaning, and durability. This is Kim Scheid, flooring manager at Haskell's. Stop in today at any one of our three showrooms and browse through the selection of premier hardwood flooring in everything from exotic to homegrown favorites. At Haskell Flooring, we guarantee the best prices and have 30 years of professional installation experience. Also, ask about cash and carry pricing. Haskell Furniture and Flooring in Cody, Lovell, and Moreland, where we have better than Billings pricing every day.
Uncle Ray for Garvin Motors of Powell. You know, when you're thinking about a used car or truck, I'd like to help you remember the letter S, as in selection, lots of cars and trucks to test drive, or savings, prices for every budget. An S is in service before the sale to help you find just the right one, and after the sale with the service department second to none. Stop, shop, and save at Garvin Motors of Powell. Your chariot awaits.
A Wendy's Frosty is something special. And for a limited time, a Frosty is just 50 cents. An American classic for a classic price. It's not quite a milkshake, not quite an ice cream cone. It's definitely chocolate or vanilla. That choice is on you. Use a spoon or a French fry. Anything goes. A Frosty makes summer special. Yep, there's nothing quite like a Frosty. And there's nothing quite like this deal. A Frosty for 50 cents. Get yours before this deal melts away.
Small Frosty only at participating Wendy's for a limited time. Offer not valid in Alaska and Hawaii.
As a small business owner, you make every dollar count. So what could you do with $10? Go to Vistaprint.com today and you'll get 500 high-quality custom business cards for only $9.99. That's less than 2 cents per card. And at Vistaprint, your satisfaction is absolutely guaranteed. So it's never been easier to turn 500 strangers into connections. Just visit Vistaprint.com and use promo code 7373 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 7373.
We are back on Speak Your Peace. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Darren Dudrick, visiting with Robin Cutter of Park County Archives. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 587-1400. Let's go right to the phone line. Caller, please state your first and last name.
Hi, this is Keith Dahlem.
Hey, Keith.
Hey, I just think that everybody that's ever worked in the Historical Society there, you know, Center and the Archives really needs a thanks of appreciation for everything they've done to collect all that.
I would agree. You know, absolutely.
You know, everybody that's had something hand to do it has been wonderful. So I'd just like to thank everybody that's ever worked there.
Well, Keith, we found some more information on your father's Yellowstone Camping Company. So
my grandfather. Okay.
Your grandfather. So
well, that's great.
You'll need to.
You know, I've known Robin for probably 15 years or longer. So. 20 years, so she's great, so that's wonderful, but everybody that's ever worked there just really needs a pat on the back and a thank you from the community. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Well, and I reiterate that, going back to our last segment, Robin, when you told me about Park County having the only archive of any county in the state, you're the only county in the state that has archives, which blew me away, so that in itself should give people something to be thankful for. I wanted to ask you a question. Sure. I was just kind of curious. If there's a lot of people that moved to Cody from other places, you know, I'm me included and you included, because I'm not originally from Cody as well. But people move here and move into a neighborhood are kind of curious. So I want to know the history of my neighborhood. What was here before my house was here, or what get a glimpse of Cody back in a certain decade? Is there a way they can piece that stuff together at the archives?
They can come in. A lot of stuff we find from aerial photographs that we have, and recently we have found some stuff from aerial photos that were taken, or it clarifies some of the things that were in there by a little story that somebody has to tell us. Or somebody buys a house or they buy a building and they want to know different things about that. And if they can give us little pieces of it, whether it's a name or a previous owner, then we can help.
Or maps. I mean, you got old phone books,
we
too.
We do have maps. We have a lot of Sanborn maps and different things that they can look in.
They can piece something together. Mm-hmm. Now, there's some things that you're working on currently, right? Some certain projects?
Several things. One, I'm constantly out there trying to seek new collections.
Sure.
I go to estate sales and auctions and yard sales, and I talk to people and said, you know, if you have this information. For instance, a couple weeks ago, I was at the estate sale of Leon Wright, and a lot of people, old-timers here, know Leon. And so they put together a whole box full of stuff. We got a huge amount of Stampede programs, old Stampede programs.
Wow.
And I think they will ultimately give me the photo collections, and they had old ranching photos and stuff from here. And so it's just a matter of constantly talking to people, because a lot of the family members don't know what to do with some of this stuff. One, I got a box full of newspaper clippings. We just were talking about that.
Okay.
And so I was just starting to process and go through this newspaper clippings. Well, in this box of newspaper clippings, a couple weeks ago, I had a gentleman come in, and he said, you know, there was veterans housing on where the old powwow grounds was. I said, really? I didn't know that was veterans housing over there. I said, you know, there's some Heart Mountain Barracks buildings that were moved there. And I said, I sure would like to have a picture of that. And as I'm going through these scraps of newspaper articles, lo and behold, here's a view of the six Heart Mountain Barracks buildings that were on the powwow grounds before the museum took over that site. And then, and it was from 1958, the photo was taken. And so that was pretty exciting to see that. Well, then those barracks buildings got moved over to where a Wyoming Inn is, the motel. And that motel consists of Heart Mountain Barracks buildings.
Oh, that's interesting.
And another thing, this gentleman that came in looking for information, he said, you know, the rodeo grounds used to be over there by Eastside Elementary School, across from Buckstitch Canvas, in that circle drive there. That's where the rodeo started out. Well, he said, when they moved the rodeo up to the Marathon Building, where the library's at, he said they moved in some the government trailer houses.
Okay.
And they were the military green. And he said, I lived in those and I was a child. I said, boy, I'd sure like to find pictures of that. So far, I haven't found pictures of that. But I found a reference and something else I was looking through in the archives. And I got a date of 1944, went to the newspapers, found two articles that showed there were 75 of these government issues. There was a housing shortage during the war. And so they moved families into these trailers. And then when those trailers were being moved out of there and houses were starting to be built there, five of those trailers actually got moved over to the Wigwam Motel, which is across from Antler Inn on 17th Street. And that was part of their hotel.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of interesting to see. So as people have pictures and things in their collections, but they come in and they tell us stories, and we try to find different things out. But that's kind of how we piece things together.
You know the fascinating thing about being an archivist, because I love going back in history, but it's almost like you're putting a puzzle together.
We are.
Because you have to, because you have so much history, it's almost piecing things together. And, you know, when someone comes in with just, like, they don't have maybe something to give you, something to donate. If they just tell you stuff, you take notes and you have a you keep a file of notes?
And we put them in our subject files
or
do. Whatever.
Yeah, verbal stuff. People tell you stuff, whether it's on the phone or they come in.
Sure.
You take that and say, well, we were told this and this and put that in by the. So you got to keep track of everything, I guess.
And so one of the other projects, so I'm soliciting for collections and we've just got like the VFW scrapbooks and all of their records, and so we've just finished cataloging all of those. We just had somebody bring in a lot of blueprints from the Wiley Project, and in there supposedly is the proposed rail route from Cody to Yellowstone.
Okay.
And I'm kind of interested to look and find that out. I had a gentleman in when the pilgrimage was going on.
The Heart Mountain. Relocation.
And he said, well, I'm doing some search, and he was looking through old newspaper articles and different things. He said, did you know that the Heart Mountain Eagles, which was the football team for Heart Mountain, that they have the best and highest winning percent record in the state of Wyoming?
For a football team?
Okay,
interesting.
They only played seven games over the 2 years, and they won six of those seven games. But apparently during that time, they had a lot of trouble teams that didn't want to actually go physically on the site of the camp and to play. So, but anyway, trying to find different stories pertaining to that. And he was interested in you know, because they have the state record. They have.
I would assume that if people have stories to tell, certainly you invite those as well.
Sure,
right?
Absolutely. And, well, and for instance, I've recently, I got a call from the great nephew of Carolyn Lockhart, And so I worked on with him. He said, you know, I want to nominate Carolyn Lockhart to the Cowgirl Hall of Fame. What kind of information do you have in your files?
Wow.
So I worked with him for a little over a month and put together a huge packet of information, and we just submitted that. And so hopefully she'll get nominated to the Cowgirl Hall of Fame. But again, it was doing that search.
You see, you also told me before the show you had a visit this summer from somebody connected to Buffalo Bill, or there was something?
Well, actually, Linda Cody in town, I work with her on another job on the weekends, and she just went to the family reunion of Buffalo Bill down in Golden, Colorado, and I've been finding some different information of family history stuff that I've been sharing with her, and I'll get into that in just a minute, but the family from Louisa Cody had their reunion here just last week. And so the Federici family, and so she just gave me a pile full of photos and documents and family history stuff, a lot of it pertaining to that's Louisa Cody's side of the family. And so we're processing that right now. Just she gave it to me on loan, and then I'll share some of that with the museum as well, information that they might not have.
That is I mean, history so fascinating in so many ways.
One of the interesting things of things that I was sharing with her, I'm in the process of going through all of the old newspapers, and I'm collecting the stories and piecing things together on a project that I'm working on. But I found articles of Jane Cody Garlow, that she was in the process of building a 5-story hotel downtown Cody, called the Hotel Buffalo Bill. It was going to be on the corner of 14th and Sheridan, which is where, like, Gradient, the river runners or the fishing people are.
Okay, sure.
On that corner, but beside Zapata's.
Okay.
And so I had, like, 5 different articles, but the hotel never got built. She actually dug dirt in the articles, and it, you know, said of the groundbreaking, and the whole entire basement of it was built. But the rest of it was never built. And this was in 1929, 1930. It started in 1929. And so I'm just trying to find the story. So I've been talking to Linda, and she's talking with other family members to try to, because they have letters written back and forth about the building of this hotel. Well, can you imagine if Cody got a 5-story hotel back in 1930?
We'd have a couple of historic hotels downtown now.
How would that have changed the streetscape of Sheridan Avenue because most of our stories are 2-story. So you think about that. If we had a 5-story hotel, we would have started having a lot of higher-rise buildings.
They would have followed in suit. Interesting.
So anyway, but I had run into Al Simpson last night when I was leaving the archives, and I thought it was across the street where the German restaurant is. But he said, no, it was on that side of the street. And it was just because of the way it was written in the newspaper. And I had to go back to the newspaper article and reread it 6 times because just the way it was written, it sounded
And the way
like
they
was,
wrote back then was quite but, different than what they do today,
but,
that's for sure.
But the other thing I found was then in 1931, Jane Garlow built an 18-hole miniature golf course behind the Irma Hotel at 12th and Beck.
Wow.
We never knew that.
No. Miniature golf, yeah.
And so I have one of the ads that shows the opening, grand opening of Yellowstone Links. That was the 18-year-old
Yellowstone Links. That's a cool name.
Miniature golf course. So, you know, it's those kinds of things with connections, and you start finding different things, and it's pretty interesting to people.
You know, is there in the process of putting this so-called Park County puzzle together of its history, which I really think of it like a puzzle. Is there any certain parts of the past that you feel there are a lot of missing pieces that you really need the help from the public? I mean, there's probably just about everything, but is there anything in particular that you wish you think that you should have more of, a certain decade, a certain subject, a certain family?
Well, now that you mention that, the other thing that I'm working on is a history of Sheridan Avenue from the beginning of time to present. So I'm trying to document all of the businesses that were in every location along Sheridan Avenue, and actually the stories about the people who were affiliated with those businesses. And so I'm trying to collect and gather that. So people have pictures that they took of the parade, and they just think, oh, those are just parade pictures.
But you can see the background.
What I want is what's in the
That's
background.
That's right. Yeah, every
and it
little
tells
thing.
Me those stories. So, for instance, Ben Franklin. People know of Ben Franklin's store that was downtown. Well, did you know that at one point in the 70s, we had a countess here from Germany that their family went broke. They came to Cody, and she worked at the Ben Franklin store.
Okay.
That's the countess worked. So it's those little stories that go along with those businesses and the people who are affiliated with those businesses that really make all of a sudden Ben Franklin store is like, wow, that's really cool, you know? And so I'm gathering different things like that from people, and just like the Brundage family that was doing that search of Brundage Hardware that was down there, and I had three different people, and so, but I was able to connect those people with other relatives that they didn't know, as well as finding the information.
So Sheridan's one of your big projects, trying to
piece together that history. And so it's everything from menus, matchbook covers, just different advertising memorabilia. I'm searching, like I said, the yearbooks and the newspapers for ads. But a lot of the ads tell us who the change in ownership was, when they moved from one location to another location to another location. And so it's really interesting to be able to tell the whole story. And then what became of these people after business shut down?
What would you say is your most extensive, that you have like tons of information about, that you really feel that comfortable thinking, man, if somebody comes and asks about this, we can give them everything they want to know? Is there a certain subject or something that
Boy,
you just
that's
have
a tough one? Because there's so much that we cover. I mean, we have a lot of things from different ranching history. People have pack trips and different things that they took. I mean, we just have really just a wide gamut of information.
So, I mean, is most of the stuff you have pretty extensive? I mean, you've got a lot of information on a lot of subjects. That's great.
And so it's different things like, you know, we had a bowling alley downtown next to where, you know, where Peter's Cafe is. There was a bowling alley there in 1907. Didn't know that. You know, I mean, I wouldn't even imagine there were bowling alleys, ice skating rinks, the old Wolof Moncrief lumber yard. Part of that was an ice skating rink, you know, when they quit the lumber yard. You know, and so how things have changed and evolved before things were torn down and new stuff were built.
And that's what I was, the question I had earlier, just people that are new, not even people that are new to town, people that have been here for a while may want to know, hey, what was in this location 30 years ago, 70 years ago?
So a lot of that, as I'm going through and I'm pulling all this together, you know, what I'd really like to do is maybe the first of the year is take this stuff and spread it all out in the Cody Auditorium and let people from the community come and look and see what's collected and the stories about each of these different businesses and about the different people affiliated with them, and then let them contribute and add what they can.
Just that said, I mean, do you guys have fundraisers, or how does the whole thing, how is it financed, the archives?
You know what, we're funded by the county.
Okay, it's the county.
And thank goodness that they did that, and we're stable with that. But it's not to say that we can't use either donations for projects and search and things like that people can assist us with.
You know, speaking of donations, and not that it's probably not that big of a deal, but if somebody comes in and gives a donation and they want their name on it, is their name put on it some way, somehow? Or if they give you a bunch of stuff, is there any way to say, if they say we want credit for this, can you give them credit, or do you, or how does that work?
We do letters, and we do stuff within the files that say, and when we put it on
the
computer,
so people will know,
so that it says it's from this collection.
How much can people, I guess, how big of the research can they do online with the archives? Can you do a lot, or you're limited to what you can do?
There's a pretty significant amount that they can do online, but we have so much more than what's just online, because most of that is our photos, or it might tell us a book that we have in our archives. But then we have so many other documents that connect when you start looking for stuff.
You know, it's interesting. I told you when we started that you look like you're in such a small space, but then you say you have this, as you said earlier, this huge area in the back that's plenty of room for expansion.
That's right.
When you're talking history, you need a lot of room, that's for sure.
So we have all that stuff stored in archival boxes and so forth in the back. in the back room.
Why don't we're going to take a break, Robin. Before we do, let people know your hours again and then a phone number if you have a phone number people can call you.
Our hours are from 9 to 4, Monday through Friday. Our phone number is 527-8530.
And they're located in the Park County Public Library.
Correct.
In the back there. We're going to take a quick break on Speak Your Peace. If you'd like to join the conversation today with Robin Cutter of Park County Archives, give us a call, 587-1400. We'll be back with more Speak Your Peace right after these messages.
This is Brandon Douglas, Real Estate Loan Officer for First Bank of Wyoming. We are excited to offer competitive rates to those who are looking to purchase a new house or refinance their existing home. Stop in to see us in Powell or visit our other experienced lenders located in Cody and Lovell. We provide personal service that our customers have come to expect from their local bank. Your loan officer will be there every step of the way to answer questions and guide you through the lending process. Come in today and turn your dream of owning your own home into a reality. First Bank of Wyoming, where you are first. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The drum is considered the heart of the Northern Arapaho people. It also provides the music for the Native American experience at the Wind River Hotel and Casino. Every Tuesday, 6 p.m., the free shows offer stunning powwow-style dance performances, giving viewers a glimpse into the vibrant, alive, and thriving culture of Native American people. Leaving you with vivid, lasting memories, it's the Native American experience. Tuesdays at the Wind River Hotel and Casino.
Get the biggest off-road savings of the year now during the Polaris Factory Authorized Clearance. Rebates go up to $4,000 and financing is as low as 2.99% APR on high-performance RZRs, legendary Sportsman ATVs, and Ranger, the world's best-selling utility side-by-side. Come down to Rogers Sports Center located at 2812 Bighorn Avenue in Cody today.
Offers valid in U.S. 726 through 930-17 on new vehicles. Rebates and financing vary by model year. Subject to credit approval. See dealer for details. Always wear a helmet. Never drink and ride.
Midway Auto and RV works harder for you.
Midway has the best RVs in the nation. Keystone's America's number one company. Midway brings you the best quality. Midway stays open later, 6 days a week. We're the working man's dealership.
Midway has over 350 certified vehicles, four locations, and the most boats and RVs in northern Wyoming.
Midway will beat any other dealership's interest rates. Bad credit? We make it happen. We will get you financed.
Midway's customer service is the best. We will come early, stay late, and make it happen for you. Check us out at MidwayAutoSales.com.
The Bighorn Radio Network is bringing back the Battle of the Bands September 13th to Cody City Park. The big event will include tons of family fun, live music, food vendors, a beer garden, and entertainment all day long. If you would like to enter a band, just upload your demo or music links at MyBighornBasin.com and do it by no later than September 15th. So mark it down on your calendars, Saturday, September 30th at Cody City Park. We'll see you for Battle of the Bands 2017 with the Bighorn Radio Network and 104.1 The Eagle.
The clock is ticking. Every day you put off buying life insurance can cost you big time. The older you get, the more you'll have to pay. And a sudden accident or unexpected illness could cause your rates to skyrocket or even make you uninsurable. Beat the clock. Call SelectQuote now. No hassle, no obligation. In minutes, you'll have a choice of your best rates from up to 10 highly rated life insurance companies. Richard, 40 years old, takes meds to control his cholesterol. Still, SelectQuote got him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. Under a dollar a day. Don't risk your family's security another minute. Get your free quote now. Just call 800-309-9393. That's 800-309-9393. 800-309-9393. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
We are back on Speak Your Peace. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Darren Dudrick, visiting with Robin Cutter of Park County Archives. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 587-1400. I wanted to ask you, before you dive into some really fascinating things that you've found over the years, Robin, just frequently asked questions. Are there things that people, that you find that people call or come in and ask about that maybe some common things or some misunderstandings or some things people don't know about the archives that you can clear up here?
You know, most people they come in looking for an obituary or something simple, and, you know, there's sometimes people don't want to even give us names of subjects they're looking at, but maybe it's a person they're looking for or something, and trying to get that information out, because we do have so much more in our other files that once we show them, like, the back room, and then they go, oh, my gosh, I didn't know you had all this, and boy, I want to come back now and look and look deeper into things.
So basically, if someone comes in, the more you know about a specific thing you're looking for, the more likely chance you might find, they might be able to help them find something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now what are some of the cool things, interesting things
you've found? Yeah, I just want to kind of do a few little shorts kind of on just different things that I've come across that people might find interesting. In the early 1900s, Cody Trading Company, the big store downtown, they had licensed undertakers.
Okay.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
No. And I have ads of the different undertakers that were in there. Who else had actually Shoshone Furniture Company, Tom Molesworth. He was in the Pioneer Building downtown. And he, in 1931, opened a funeral home beside his furniture company. How about that?
Okay, yeah, that's...
Didn't know that.
No.
And actually, he had a house at the end of Sheridan Avenue, which was kind of right beside where the hospital is, where they're digging the dirt right now beside the cancer treatment center. He had a house there and a shop. And his shop, in 1936, the day he was going to move in the next day and the day before, it caught fire and burned to the ground. And so they had to rebuild his whole shop space. So he was downtown on Sheridan Avenue for a while. But it was kind of interesting, just those, you know, the fires and things that have taken place downtown. We had horse racing in 1905 in Cody.
Horse racing?
Yeah.
Where was it held at?
I just said north of town. I don't know where that is.
Oh, okay. You need to get back to me on that. That's interesting. Horses are nice. Okay.
Kmart, when they were looking to come to Cody, they were looking to locate on Blackburn Avenue before they made their decision to move up.
Blackburn. Wow.
Yeah. So I'm thinking maybe kind of in somewhere around where Fremont Motor used to be over there.
Okay.
So somewhere on one of those corners is where Kmart was looking to actually initially open. So that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Cody had the first all-women jury in the state of Wyoming in 1949.
All-woman jury.
Yeah. In 1871, the legislators, or 1868, sorry, the Wyoming legislature extended women's suffrage and the right to vote and jury duty, which I didn't know jury duty was included in that. Well, in 1871, the legislators thought that they went too far. The reason that women didn't listen to the lawyers argue but persisted in looking at the judge's face and thus were not much good as jurors.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then in 1949, when they reinstated to allow women on juries, Cody had that distinction of having the first women in the jury, but the first all-women jury.
That's
and
neat.
An accident case that Jerry Housel had worked on. So that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Ernest Hemingway was here in 1930. He was up at the Majo Ranch.
I heard that did he stay at the Chamberlain Inn?
He also stayed there at the Chamberlain Inn at one time. When he was staying up at the Majo Ranch, he had an accident and a horse bolted him. And they tore him through a whole bunch of brush, and he tore up his face and ended up having to get a whole bunch of stitches across his face. So if you look at old pictures of Ernest Hemingway and you see scars, they were from Cody.
Blame it on Cody.
Blame it on Majo Ranch. So that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Did you know Cody had a zoo?
No.
In the 30s, Cody had a zoo. And from what I understand, it was kind of at the foot of Mooncrest Ranch.
Okay.
And so there were a lot of wild animals, and I still haven't gotten a lot of the search with that, but just a few little short little articles about animals that were being moved into the zoo.
Now, see to tourist, Cody still has a zoo in the North Fork. Go pet the bison. Don't do that. I'm only kidding.
That's right. So that's for some people that might be kind of interesting.
What kind of information have you gathered about whether it's Harry Jackson or Jackson Pollock?
Not yet. I mean, we have files on that, but I haven't gotten to that era yet.
Because Jackson Pollock was born here? Is that right? Or
I just ran across an article on that, and I can't honestly say.
Okay.
I don't know.
There's so much history in Cody. Let's go to the phone line. Caller, please state your first and last name. Caller, go ahead. Oh. Nope. We had a call, but no longer.
Well, in 1991... there was plans being made out the Powell Highway to have a model train museum. And they actually looked at a museum, gift shop, hobby shop, and accommodations in the old railroad cabooses. But a combination of the neighborhood, the neighbors, and planning and zoning kind of put the quabush on that. But that could have been interesting. And I don't know if that was where the cross from Lane 20, where the caboose lane. I'm speculating that that was the site, but maybe there'll be people that can come in and help clarify or give us some more information on that.
So it sounds like not only do you have what was in Cody, but what was possibly could have been in Cody, too.
That's right. Things that that started to develop or were plans and never actually developed.
Yeah, Jackson Pollock, and I'm just checking double D, he was born in Cody. That's in 1912, apparently. He didn't stay here very long, I don't think. The great artist,
right.
Jackson Pollock, yep. American painter he was, yep. So I may come in sometime and see what you have on Jackson Pollock.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
There used to be a hospital above Peter's Cafe.
Hospital above Peter's Cafe.
That's right, 1931. Just found that out yesterday.
You're not making this stuff up.
No, I'm not. I've got articles to back up some of this.
That's funny.
I never knew that. And it actually, the first physician that came to Cody in like 1901, 1902, he was here, and then he left, and then he came back, and then he left again, and then he came back again. But he was the first physician here, and there were other hospitals, but he actually, when he came back in 31, he put a hospital upstairs at Peter's Cafe.
Couldn't have been a very big hospital.
No, but they didn't,
That was back in the day, so they didn't need to have that big of a hospital, I guess. Very interesting.
And then other information, I'm still trying to find photos of the old Cody Fish Hatchery that's out at the Belfry Highway and the Waterfowl Park, the bird sanctuary that was there for about a year and a half in the late 80s. And so those are different things that we've come across, a couple photos. We've found some Lucier negatives. Lucier was a photographer back in the 20s, 30s, and we discovered a couple of them in, they were in Powell and that were given to us. And Brian looked at me and said, "Hey, I think this is the old fish hatchery." And sure enough,
it was. Oh, cool.
And so it's fun to find this information.
Do you have a popular topic that people come in and ask about a lot? Is it all over the place?
No, it's really all over the place.
You never know what you're going to expect. You never know what you're going to find.
Because in what I'm finding with a lot of this information that I'm coming up with, there are so many opportunities. If people are interested in writing books, boy, as I continue to get some of this, there'll be so much information available for people who want to write books.
And that's, and there's the sky's the limit for this, for the archives, because there's so many things that could spin off this thing, because when you have history at your fingertips, you can do almost anything.
That's right.
I mean, and so many people, people listening, we got about 30 seconds left. Anything you want to tell them before we wrap things up, Robin?
Just welcome people to come by, stop in, and let us show you around. Feel free to donate your collections, because we certainly can use more information.
And again, your hours?
Our hours, 9 to 4, Monday through Friday.
And the phone number, in case they
have... Phone number, again, is 527-8530.
Located in Park County Public Library. And you're looking for anything people think that might work out to go in the archives that is Park County connected, bringing it, even if it's photos that you think are not big of a deal because the background of the photos can tell a full story.
Newspaper clippings, yes.
Robin Cutter, Park County Archives. Hey, thanks for coming in. A lot of fun.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And that will do it for Speak Your Piece. I'm Darren Dudrick. Thanks for tuning in today. We'll talk to you on Monday. Have a great weekend.
This has been Speak Your Piece with Darren Dudrick on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM KODI Cody, and 1140 AM KZMQ Grable.